This is 1320 WILS. My next guest was everything was great. Life was fantastic. He was a Wall Street investment advisor. And then suddenly he was diagnosed with kidney cancer and everything changed. In fact, he took off on a very spiritual path. We're joined by Clifford Michaels. He's the author of the brand new book, Harnessing Heaven, How One Reluctant Wall Streeter Tapped the Power of the Hereafter. Clifford, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you, Michael. Glad to be here. Just so you know, I'm still an investment advisor.
Life was going very well for you. Mm-hmm. You write in the book. You were comfortable, in fact. And then
it was all systems go. Uh-huh. And I have a 2 and a 4-year-old child at home and a wife, a lovely wife, and all of a sudden I have this diagnosis of kidney cancer.
Now, were you not feeling well then? Or?
You know, the thing about kidney cancer, it's asymptomatic. I mean, even the way it was discovered, I was having a lot of lung infections. They took a CAT scan, and by accident, they picked up something on my kidney. So the whole, just the whole accident itself, the discovery was fortuitous.
And what would you say your spiritual beliefs were before the cancer?
I had no real belief. I just really had no belief. My father said, when you're dead, you're dead. So I figured he was right.
Uh-huh. And you were okay? You didn't feel like you needed that, essentially?
I didn't feel like I needed what?
Any kind of beliefs or faiths or spirituality of that kind?
Well, I wasn't sure because a lot of folks out there have to see it to believe it. You know what I mean? I mean, most people aren't sure what to make of the hereafter. So what happened actually is after surgery, I wanted to do anything and everything possible to heal. So I changed my diet. I felt like maybe it was my adrenal glands that were overactive for being on Wall Street and stress. Mm-hmm. So I tried to reduce stress. And I stumbled on this meditation circle, this spiritual circle. I knew nothing about it. I did it out of curiosity.
Just a group of people sitting in a circle?
And it was professionals from all different walks of life. Mm-hmm. Attorneys, nurses, people like myself.
And what happens there?
And after about 6 months to a year of doing these exercises, and all of a sudden I started opening up and I started feeling, hearing, and seeing things that I didn't think existed.
And like what? Give me the first thing.
Well, I started feeling like a hand on my back or somebody touching me, but there was nobody there.
And this is while you're meditating, you're saying?
Yes. Or I started feeling thermal changes in the air around me, and I realized this energy, there's something going on here that was beyond my understanding. Okay. So my curiosity turned into intention. I stayed there for 5 years.
Wow. And while you're continually working, then?
Yes, yes. Well, it was just one Wednesday a night for two and a half hours.
And why were you convinced it was something real and not just in your head?
Because other people were also experiencing it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so either we were all crazy or, you know. So the long and the short of it is that I developed an ability to communicate with another reality, if you will.
Okay.
And
when you say another reality, what do you mean?
Those who have passed before us. I mean, you hear about mediums, right?
Mm-hmm.
You hear about those that can communicate to your loved ones and that sort of thing. And I want to tell you, I believed nothing of this. You know, and if somebody told me that I was going to be doing that, I would have thought they were crazy.
Well, skeptics will say, look, you know, they're never specific. You know, they say, oh, do you know somebody, their name starts with a letter S, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Give me the real specifics of what you experience when you do this.
Well, I will tell you right now, my body heats up. I vibrate.
Do you see people? Do you see faces?
I have. Absolutely, I have. And it's not often, but I have.
And what leads that to happen? Do you call for it to happen or just happens?
Yeah, the intention. And the truth is, and I want to be very clear about this, is that most people have the ability to do this, but it would take years of work and development to be able to, and that's what I did. And
in the pathway is meditating. Is that a
meditating is a big part of it.
Okay.
Being in a group where there's a lot of energy because you're with others is another part of it.
Now the intention. What is the intention? Why are you trying to connect to this other side?
for healing or to bring through messages to help someone else heal their pain, whatever it might be.
Have you connected for yourself, though, with your own family members or former family members?
One time, maybe twice, but that's not necessarily the object, to connect with your own family members. Mm-hmm. The object is just to be receptive and to see what comes through. And what came through were the seven principles for clarifying your life purpose.
Which is what this book is. Let me repeat the book. It's Harnessing Heaven, How One Reluctant Wall Streeter Tapped the Power of the Hereafter. Again, Harnessing Heaven, I'm talking to Clifford Michaels, and did they come to you in words? Or was someone telling you the principles, or how did it work?
Honestly, I would wake up in the morning, and I sat down to write, and I had some writer's block initially because I had never done this before. But after a period of about 6 months, I would go to sleep at night, and I would, kid you not, I would wake up in the morning, and my mind would be full of ideas, and I would just start writing on my commute to work. Mm-hmm. I live in New Jersey, commute to New York City, and I would commute to work, and I would just start writing. And by the time I arrived at work, I was finished with a couple of pages. I did that for almost 3 years, and the book unfolded. And
now, tell me,
one other quick thing, Mike.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney and Rod Stewart say the same thing. They go to bed at night, and they wake up in the morning with a melody or a tune. So apparently, this is a way that people that they can connect with us while we're in the sleep with our subconscious.
And do you feel it's people that have passed that are basically passing this information to you?
Yes, but not people I necessarily know. Not my loved ones, just, you know.
I have to tell you, Clifford, one thing would be great if they could actually give us answers as to what's ahead in the market, you know? not to just be, I'm actually being quite serious.
Well, if you want to know what's going to go on the stock market, I just pretty much spilled the beans.
Okay.
That we're going to be okay this summer.
Yeah. What about tomorrow? That's the question.
You're going to have to fasten your seatbelt after Labor Day. And you heard it here first.
Tell me this, Clifford. When you talk about the principles, what is the... Well, I don't want to go through all seven, but give me the number one principle right now that you'd say was the most important.
Well, they're all important, but I guess I'll pick two, if I can. One is loving each other and opening your heart for acceptance and tolerance. Acceptance of yourself and tolerance for others. And boy, if we could really embrace those lessons, this world would be a lot better off.
Let me get specific. When you say accepting yourself, what does that mean exactly?
Well, I think a lot of us, people are caught up each day on imperfections in themselves and others, and the truth is we're all imperfect. The universe is actually imperfect. Yeah. But if you could start to accept yourself a little bit more, instead of maybe holding on to those things that may be heartaches and disappointments, it enables us to move forward a little bit.
And how do you do that?
Well, the first thing is acknowledging it, right? The first thing is to acknowledge that you may be holding on to heartache and disappointment. What are you getting out of that, if you will, okay? So the first thing is just to understand that you may be stuck in a rut here, and not to put yourself down when comparing yourself to others, because lessons take many forms. We're all at different stages of development. We're all unique, and so our challenges and predicaments are always going to be different. And tolerance for others, because when you can tolerate another person, you create this space for creativity and change, and it may even help you become more patient. Hmm. Which enhances your relationship with others.
Is it difficult to have the spiritual awakening while you're working on Wall Street?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so,
how do you do that?
I have a foot in two worlds, so to speak, okay? But I believe that every soul has a purpose, and we all have a reason for being here. And
so do you block it out while you're working, or how do you do it?
No, you really can't. You are who you are. And I think I'm more patient than I've ever been before. I think I'm more grounded than I've ever been before. When we had this meltdown in 2009, Mm-hmm. I had already started this work in 2006, so I was a couple of years into this. And, you know, normally I'd be jumping out of a window, so to speak, and I was able to really maintain my composure during that time and really keep it together. And I was one of those advisors that, you know, came out of this fairly well.
So is it meant you just don't feel the type of fear you might have felt in the past? Or?
That's right. That's right. Because lesson number seven, principle number seven is your thinking equals your experience. Life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we react to it.
So you're right, fear
is a big part of this.
So how do you, when you say your thinking equals your experience, what is it you think about most of the day to have a positive experience?
I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I try to keep a positive attitude. I know that what you think you are, and what you expect you become, and I have to remind myself, listen, I'm like anybody else. I don't want to make it sound like I'm up here on a different level. I mean, I am like anybody else. Believe me, I have fears. I have worries, but I try to bring myself back to base every once in a while. Sometimes I have these things on the wall that just remind me.
Like what?
Oh, you want to know what I have here?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I need one of these things. I'm serious.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Uh-huh. Have faith and you will be protected. Turn stumbling stones into stepping stones. Mm-hmm. Do what you do and the rest will be given. How's that?
I like that. When you say have faith, what would you say you have faith in?
All is well. All is well. At the end of the day, I mean, you just think about where we were a week ago in the market, like you brought that up, Michael, right? Uh-huh. I mean, it looked like we were just repeating what happened a number of years back. But what actually happened was we turned around and you know, all is well. We're back
for the moment. But when you
for
went
the
through,
moment, well, do you? It sounds like you think we're going back down.
Well, first of all, I think we have a couple of major gaps down there too. I think we'll be revisiting those.
So you're a technician, okay? So.
Well, I just I like to look at these things. Tell me this though: when you went through cancer, I mean, when you have cancer, how do you maintain that all is well mindset?
No, the cancer. Honestly, the cancer was a year before I started this work.
Yeah.
So you're right.
But if you were to go through it again, let's say, I mean, I'm just saying, if you have that real frightening experience, how do you feel all is well then?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because you got to keep your eye on the end result there, and that's that. Almost everything that occurs in your life is a lesson for something. There's always a positive takeaway. No matter what's going on, there's always a lesson wrapped within, you know, whether it's a relationship that's broken. You can figure out what went wrong and learn from it and move on to the next. So even if it's cancer, you can try to understand, you know, how did I get to this place, right? And maybe there's a lesson or a challenge here to be overcome, like what I went through. A lot of people survive cancer.
What was your conclusion on why you ended up with kidney cancer?
I probably did it to myself because I was stressed out working on a Wall Street desk, and I probably was internalizing all of my emotions, which, by the way, is principle number two.
Yeah.
Thoughts and emotions are alive. Thoughts are real energy, and emotions are energy, and emotional issues get stuck in our tissues. We have to learn to release this energy before it leads to illness.
And you do that how?
Well, whether it's going to the gym, meditating, going out and walking, you know, I walk
getting
a lot.
Getting it out.
So somehow you have to. Yeah, it may be different for different people, Michael. That how they release their stress or you know their issues.
Walking, yeah, I do some walking. It doesn't seem to release very much for me. The walking, it's pleasant. I enjoy it, but.
Okay.
You know, I probably need something more vigorous, but I'm a little lazy.
Well, you might be a high-energy person, and so you might need to do something more vigorous.
Let me ask you then about the meditation. Are you still meditating regularly now?
I meditate, yes. I try to meditate at least a couple of minutes each day. You can, if you just get 5 or 10 minutes. Remember, I'm in a train every day, commuting at least an hour each way, so I can grab a few minutes here and there to sort of ground myself.
And then tell me this: how often do you connect to the other side? I mean, that sounds like quite an experience to actually communicate with those that have passed. How often do you do that?
That depends on my state of being. Okay. I have to be relaxed, and I have to have the intention to do so, and I can probably do so. I probably do 3 or 4 times a week. I cannot do it every day. You know, you have to realize that's another dimension. That's another reality.
And how does it work? Do people ask you to do that? Or?
I do it. I do it to receive information or just because I know that by going through those motions, sometimes I can even get a little bit of healing. Sometimes I can even get a little bit of healing.
Is it, you say, are you asking for certain information? Is that it?
I do at times.
Can you give me an example?
Well, let me say this. When you ask for information, it has to be based on need, N-E-E-D, not greed. You understand? If you're asking for greed, Michael, it doesn't happen.
Okay.
It has
so
to
you
be
need,
based on need.
It almost sounds like you need to be in a desperate place to ask. Versus, I wouldn't mind having a little bit of this. No, so can you give me an example of the type of thing you'd sit down and get try to get information on?
Maybe just choices, and it could be choices of situational at work, right? Whether or not somebody has the integrity for me to do business with.
In terms of a person. And how does the answer come across? Is it like just a word?
I get yeses and no's.
Just like
usually
that.
Usually it's a yes and no. Because it's very difficult. It's not like picking up a phone and you and I are talking. It's not that easy. But you can hear a yes or a no. You can feel what a yes feels like or a no feels like.
And do you know who you're communicating with?
Yes. I have an idea. But, you know, we're getting into some other areas, and I don't mind talking about it, but everybody, if you, let's talk about this. You obviously are very interested. Everybody has a guardian angel. Everybody's born with someone looking at, remember like the war, what movie was that? It's A Wonderful Life.
Yeah. Look, I think it's great to feel that you have some protection in this crazy world very important.
It's not necessarily protection because you're still out there making your choices from moment to moment. But certainly when you come back to base, you can ask for a little bit of help.
Does it tend to be a relative, the guardian angel?
No.
It is
no
not. It could be someone just from that you've never known, Madden.
That's right.
Completely disconnected. Huh?
That's correct.
From another time, even.
No, because that's correct. Because those who have elevated themselves to be able to help others in this reality have been there for a long time.
Yeah. There's a lot more in the book. The book, by the way, Harnessing Heaven, How One Reluctant Wall Streeter Tapped the Power of the Hereafter, Clifford Michaels, and this... So you were, what, in your 30s and 40s when this all happened? Or?
I was in my early 40s, now in my 50s.
So until in your 40s, this was just completely not even part of your life, and then suddenly...
No way. No, I would never... I was a skeptic, and I want to stress that, because for those who may be listening to this kind of conversation for the first time may think that I'm maybe off the wall, and I have to tell you, I am nowhere near it. I'm as grounded as the next person, and... very deep in my career here on Wall Street, and maybe that's the whole catch here, that it's somebody that's in the business world and the working world that is of sound mind that's really talking about things like this that are usually hush-hush. But let it be some inspiration or some hope for those people out there that feel that they're stuck, that there's always a possibility or a hope around the corner that things will get better. Because that's what we're here for. We're here to learn.
And we're not here for that long either.
No, we're not. It goes quick.
Clifford Michaels, a Wall Street investment advisor and financial planner, has been doing that for over 30 years now. His book, Harnessing Heaven, find him online at harnessingheaven.com.
Correct.
Also.
Harnessingheaven.com has some very good information. You can pre-order the book if it sounds interesting to you.
Clifford,
I just really want to bring harmony to the world. I really just want to try to help people
here. It's certainly been inspirational, and thank you very much, Clifford.
Thank you for having me, Michael.